called you a girl?
3,500 years ago.
On a Tuesday.
God took Moses up into this mystery and showed him a pattern, showed him a mystery. He showed him this mystery of all of the sacrifices. He showed him the mystery of the law. He showed him the mystery of the tabernacle and the offerings and the feast days and the ark. And he said, you must create these things after the pattern so that the people can see through these patterns or parables the purpose of your existence and my creation. And then in about 700 BC, Isaiah comes along. And let's look and see what Isaiah says, what God says through Isaiah about all of this stuff. Remember, we're talking about abominations. The abomination which maketh desolation. We're going to see if we can understand what this abomination is. What?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Just wondering why you're looking at me like that.
Well, because I said abomination.
Chapter
66. Now remember, for hundreds of years now, the Jews had been doing the sacrifice according to the pattern, according to the law. They'd made him a temple. Their whole life was based on this system of thought, rules of behavior, supposedly, as they saw it. Thus saith the Lord. Everybody there? Isaiah 66. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all these things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Remember, the law told them to kill oxen, kill lambs, and kill goats, and kill all these things. So then he says, he that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation or a sacrifice, it's as if he offered swine's blood. And he that burneth incense, and they're talking about on the altar of incense in the holy place, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. Again, the word abominations. In other words, all of those things that they were doing according to the law, they were doing as an instrument of their own self-realization. Therefore, it was an abomination. The few that saw the pattern and saw Christ. But the doing of the things for the sake of doing them or for the sake of them keeping the law is called an abomination. Now, what does this mean? Think about it. The highest thing that God said as the pattern, if you're doing it in order for you to go to heaven or for you to get something or for you to be, to get anything, is makes it an abomination. Yeah, if you're doing it to self, it's an abomination. If you're doing it for some, if you don't discern Christ in the communion, you are eating and drinking damnation to yourself. If you are making these sacrifices as the highest they can be, which all were a type of Christ, then if you're doing it for any other reason than to see Him, they're an abomination. That's an incredible thing.
It's killing the sacrifice with the intent of eating it, or going to the temple and thinking about where you're going to go afterward.
And their soul delights in their abomination, because they think they're doing the good, right thing.
Does any of this sound familiar to any of you?
See people, they will.
What?
Garrett says he sees people.
I do too.
Now listen carefully, therefore, he said. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abomination. Because, again, the curse caused man to do and capable of doing only one thing. That was self-realization. Things for the purposes of self. That's why when I read the Talmud or the Midrash or the Zohar, and you read it, and it's like it's literally like looking for a needle in a haystack, because every once in a while you see a rabbi that saw, and you know it. You know that he saw Christ. But 99.99% of the time, they're doing, their soul delighteth in their abominations, and it delights.
That's why they'll kill you.
So therefore he says, I will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them. Now that's an incredible thing to say. But that is the fruit of continuing in your own way. He will choose your delusion and will bring your fears upon you, because in doing it in any way for the benefit or self or you or yours, you make the Holy Spirit your enemy. Therefore, He has to convict you of sin because you rely not on the Father. Now, what are you relying on today? Have you already made a plan of action? Have you already defined what it is that you think you will do? Then anybody that gets in your way, you're going to psychically or spiritually murder. So the purpose of all this is to cause you to see what this abomination of desolation is, and how common the abomination of desolation is, and how rare it is for someone to see the abomination of desolation, and when he sees it, to stand in the holy place. Not to go out, not to do anything outside of the covering of the wings of the cherubim. And it's always been true. So now what are we going to do? We're going to go and rebuild the Christian community and the Jewish community. They're going to go rebuild the temple so they can offer some more swine's blood on the... They can offer another dog's head. He's not going to permit that. But again, this isn't about them. It's about how your abomination of desolation must be seen. Let's go to Isaiah 1. Well, wait a minute. Hear the word of the Lord. No, we didn't finish 4 yet. I will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes and chose that in which I delighted not. Hear the word of the Lord, you that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, Let the Lord be glorified. But he shall appear to your joy, and there they shall be ashamed. And again, it is always, ever, and always, no matter what the stimuli, no matter what happens, I see Jesus. I see Jesus. All things are under the feet of the Lord. Every knee is bowing. Every tongue is confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. They don't know they're doing it. They may be saying the opposite. But by the very nature of the universe, because he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, nothing can happen that isn't in his perfect will. So they, by doing that perfect will, are bowing their knee and confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. It doesn't matter. It's what?
That's hilarious. I mean, it's just because everybody thinks they're going their own way, doing their thing, accomplishing their goals, etc. And yet, they're confessing that Jesus is Lord because he is.
Right. There's nothing you can do that there's nothing, if there's nothing that can happen. All things are put under his feet. He created all things. By him and for him, all things exist. There can be nothing that's going on that isn't in his perfect will. That's why it's such a tremendous, damnable insult if there is anything in your life that you can't forgive. I'm talking about every single thing that has ever happened to you, every single thing, every supposed wrong that has ever been taken place, the slightest instant, the slightest moment of being a victim of somebody, the slightest, I mean, they're endless. If you haven't confessed or forgiven everything, then he can't forgive you. Do you really capture that? Because it's the evidence that you are the abomination. Now again, well, if all things exist or all things are of God, then I might as well just, you know, go do my thing. Go eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow we die. Well, again, everything in the universe is working towards this one single purpose. Both that which is in the antagonist, or that which is the whore and that which is the bride. That which is the birth and that which is the afterbirth. All are necessary.
That's a funny statement, because you can't even say that that's not God if you decide to go and do your thing.
Yeah, the world is going to be blessed, but you won't.
Who knows? I mean, if God is God, he's the one that's causing all things to happen. So.
But he's only causing all things to happen because he's seen the end of the movie. He's patiently waiting for your repentance.
But even that's caused by him, isn't it? I mean, where do I enter in?
Only by, if you continue to do that which you have heard, know is self-seeking, and if you seek to save your life or save yourself, you will be lost. So the slightest instant of seeking to save or help or fix you, that means, now that's why time, the only reason time exists is the God's prayer that you will repent. Again, well, then you can say, well, I might as well just go do anything because that's God's will. But that doesn't compute. That means you don't understand time.
Yeah, it's all a function of seeing.
Yes.
What you've seen.
And then if you do it anyway, then there's no repentance. There's no more sacrifice for sin.
That's what makes this a dangerous place.
I've told you that for 30 years. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendereth recompense to his enemies. Before she travailed, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man-child. Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. That wasn't this compromise in 1948 that made Israel a nation. That's just another invention of man. The earth brought forth in one day on Pentecost. And we're still in the night of that day that started at his sacrifice. The night has come and no man can work. You can't fix yourself. You can do nothing. If there's something you think you have to do, then you're working it. And to whomsoever, you know, if you're still working it, then grace is not reckoned as a reward, but of debt. You'll be forever in debt. It's either all him and no you, or it's all you with him trying to help you. No. Do you see the implications of this?
I see a lot of the subtleties of it, how the self will try and co-opt and find some way to profit out of this.
Well, that's the whole point. That's why it's got to be all or nothing. There's nothing gray.
That's why that gulf exists between the two, and nothing can cross.
And it has to be. That's why there has to be you have to revenge the disobedience, not go out and kill somebody. You revenge the disobedience because it's all in you. Let's go to Isaiah 1. See something else. First thing Isaiah saw. The vision of Isaiah, the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens. This was almost about 750 B.C., so this is... Hear, O heavens, give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know. My people doth not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers. Children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backward. Why should you be stricken any more? You'll revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate, your cities are burned with fire, your land strangers devour it, and your presence, and it is desolate, is overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, and as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city, except the Lord of hosts had left to us a very small remnant, except it says in Hebrew, except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a seed, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us, me, you, a seed, Christ in you, the hope of glory, you would have been made like Sodom and made unto as Gomorrah. Doesn't matter what you, oh, I'm this or I'm that. No, you're not. You're an evil seed. Let's go see what Jesus said about this great Jerusalem of the flesh. Go to Revelation 11. This is about the two witnesses, but when in verse 7, then when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. That's got to be a damning verse. I don't know how anybody... The city called Sodom and Egypt. The best there was in the flesh called Sodom and Egypt.
With wisdom and prophecy lying dead in the street.
That's right.
For 3.5 years.
And all has happened. Again, you've got to, you must believe enough about this because you come to Bible study. You're still here. If you don't believe it, I don't care. That's your business. It has to happen. I can't stress this enough. It has to be seen on a nanosecond by nanosecond basis. You can't give place to the evil one. You can't give breath to your thoughts and your emotions or your feelings. The minute you do, you've lost everything. It doesn't matter what happens, that's God's business. But you must, if you want to be among the mystery, then you have to cast down every imagination and every high place and bring into captivity every single thought to the obedience of Christ. There is absolutely no emotion or situation or thought that you can have that can stand against. It is finished. It is perfect. I mean, it's like, there's this whole Mr. Joysana and I we're doing this thing on the loser this month is a dominionist, and everybody is a dominionist. A dominionist means you want to set up the kingdom of God, or you want to set up on earth. But they've taken it to the limit. They've got to prepare. Christians have to take over everything. They have to take over the government. They have to take over broadcasting. They have to take over every school system. They have to take over everything so that they can prepare the land for Jesus to come. And now they've gone into Israel, and you know, there's several multimillionaires living in Israel now that are, you know, everything in their belief system is that is the Israel of God, and the U.S. cannot let the settlements that they're going to be given back. And so there's this one guy that's spending like millions and millions of dollars of his own money for broadcasts to foment riots in Israel against this. I mean, that's them. I don't care about that. But you got to see that's the same thing you do when you try to fix you. You are wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. It can't be fixed. The only answer is that we bring forth fruit necessary for repentance, to abandon yourself to the mystery of God and live in that moment of dependence on Him 24 hours a day. Otherwise, you haven't, if you don't do that, it means you haven't seen this abomination of desolation, and therefore you've got to fix your life. You've got to fix things up. And I promise you, everything in the universe is against this message. Everything. It's on purpose. It's to provide the antagonism by which we test what is that good and that perfect and that acceptable will of God. The only good and acceptable and perfect will of God is Jesus Christ in you. That's why nothing can ever happen to you. Nothing can ever be going on with you or with us. The only question is, are we they that continue with Him in His test? Or are you going through the process? That's why the Holy Spirit became Ronnie's enemy yesterday. Because all of a sudden Ronnie had to protect himself. No. I don't have any better words to talk about this. I don't know how to explain it any clearer. I can show you in every book of the Bible that this is the truth. That this is the mystery. The hope of glory is Jesus Christ in you. And if you have hope in anything else, you're just a damn fool. And this has to apply to every smallest issue and big issues of your life. What?
Just popping my neck.
nice try, Bonehead.
Can I be in charge of this universe?
Does anybody have any response? Not to Harry.
Or Miss Teen USA.
There's nothing that this can do except shut up your mouths. But it has to shut them up when you're alone, just as much as it shuts them up when you're in Bible study.
It's not just...
No,
it's, lips.
No, that's easy. That's anybody can do that. You sit there like a blithering idiot and go. You're in war in your mind. That's takes somebody with the discernment of a pissant to see it. But you think you're getting by with it. So everybody understands this perfectly. Silence will be a witness against you then. You're going to play a Ronnie, invite the Holy Spirit to become your enemy. Take a big guy.